Well, good morning. You know, one of the most rewarding things about being a pastor and getting to meet with different ones throughout the week is just staying in Scripture and being in different passages of Scripture constantly, and just the way that the Lord will take a particular passage and bring to mind a completely different thought that's, you know, parallel to what you're talking about, but just kind of a different twist, if you will, on it. And this happened to me this last week, and I wasn't able to get it out of my mind. I was actually meeting with Mike Semillion, and we're in the book of Amos. And I love the book of Amos, and for those of you who know me, you know why. In chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "He who made the Pleiades and Orion, and changes deep darkness into morning, who also darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name." We're going through a new members orientation now, and as we're walking out, Pastor Gary made mention to the many different ways that the Lord speaks to each one of us. And this passage really spoke to me, because when I thought about the part where it says, "Who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth," it just really struck me how phenomenal that whole process is. Because when you think about the water and what water is and how life-sustaining it is and how necessary it is, but where does most of it come from? It comes from the oceans, which are salty. And I realize that in Matthew chapter 5, we are called the salt of the earth, and salt does preserve, it does help to heal, it does help to flavor, and so there are positive elements to salt. But when you mix it with water, it's not really good for much. You can't water plants with it, you can't drink it, and so it really isn't good for much. So I started really thinking about how God takes the waters out of the sea, the salty water out of the sea, and turns it fresh so that we can drink it, and it can water gardens, water plants, and just you know, the power that God displays, the love that God, the planning, the sovereignty of God in that process. So as I started to look at it, I thought, well, what is the process that God puts this water through? And for those of you who know science better than I do, I looked at evaporation, condensation, and coalescence. Evaporation is the process that water turning into vapor, and it rises. Well, for any of you who ever had, especially like a saltwater aquarium, you know salt doesn't evaporate. Salt stays there. So God's pulling that water, that good fresh water, out of the oceans, and the salt is staying in the ocean, right? But the water comes up where it's useful. But now it's up there, so now what do you do with it? And the amazing part to me is this is something only God can do. It's like cleansing us, right? I mean, I can't cleanse myself. This is something only God can do. And so now it's up there, and it's this vapor. Well, condensation then takes over, and condensation occurs as air temperatures cool. And the water actually, the vapor begins to attach to dust particles. Sound familiar? We are but dust. So water begins to attach to the dust vapor, or to the vapor begins to attach to the dust particles. And as it cools, it actually begins to condense and begins to turn back into water. It coalesces. In other words, the water droplets begin to bump against each other in the atmosphere, and because of electrical charges, they join together. So you're seeing this vapor become larger and become drops. Well, this really created a challenge in my own mind because I'm thinking, okay, these drops are going to drop to Earth. They have to be a large enough drop to actually get to Earth and not re-evaporate before they get there. But they can't be so big that they do damage upon coming to the Earth, right? So how does all of that happen? Well, as I look and I think about, again, the power and the plan of God, if you're looking at a farm, for a 1 square mile of farmland, that's 640 acres, 1 inch on 1 square mile of farmland weighs 27,878,000 cubic feet of water. That's 206 million gallons, weighing 1.65 billion pounds of water. How does it stay up there? You know what I'm saying? I mean, so this is all traveling. This, again, is something only God can do, but he's moving it in. So you think of people in this time of Amos. It's coming out of the Mediterranean, which is hundreds of miles away. It's traveling all this distance to water their farmland. And it's like, how does all of this happen? How does it stay up there? How does it come down in droplets that is watering and not, you know, destroying at the same time? Because you can imagine that much water, 1.6 billion pounds of water come down at one time. But it really is, it's the magnificence of God that he reminds us. If you look at the different things around us and you just contemplate the way that God has done things, the way that he demonstrates himself to us, if we'll just open and be aware, meditate on it. But what he's doing is he's cleaning this water. He's taking this water that otherwise would be absolutely useless, and he's turning it into something that is useful. And I started thinking about how he cleans us. And again, as I said, we can't clean ourselves. We have to turn to him. We have to depend on his power, his love, and what he does to clean us. And in Psalm 51, there are several points that David talks about this. In verse 2, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." In verse 7, he says, "Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." And then in verse 10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me." Again, all of these things are things that only God can do. We can't do in ourselves. So here's my question, because this is really what it boils down to. What do you believe about God? Because what we believe about God determines everything about the way that we see him and what he's doing around us. So what do you believe about God? Do you trust his love for you? And do you love him back? Have you ever felt useless to God? Have you ever felt like, man, I've messed up so bad that God couldn't even use me? Have you ever felt useless to those around you? I don't know what I've done, or I don't know what to do. I don't know, I've hurt these people. I don't know what to do. Again, God can cleanse us of those things. The question is, do I feel I am in need of cleansing? And the answer is that if the answer to that is yes, pray. We know every time that we go to God with a sincere heart, that he hears us. He cleanses us. And he sends us back into the world, right? He gives us that peace, that sense of forgiveness, and he sends us back into the world. He lifts us up, looking at the water. He lifts us up, and he cleanses us, and he sends us out to spread the good news. You know, he's cleansed me. He can cleanse you. He's done this in my life. He's shown me grace. He's shown me mercy. He will do this for you. And again, it's something that only God can do. He'll give us relief. He says in his word, he gives relief to, think about it, to all who are thirsting. you know, a water that will always satisfy our thirst. So I thank you for allowing me to share that with you. It's just amazing the way that if we just look around and we see God talking to us in so many different ways. Amen. Father, we come before you, Lord, just humbled by your love for us and the way that you make it known to us. Each and every morning, your sun comes up in the east in a picture of your son coming back and returning. And Lord, we thank you for the many different ways in nature you speak to our hearts. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.